you see things on social media. The year right now that Tennessee is having compared to the year that Vanderbilt is not, you know it's bad for Vanderbilt basketball when they start throwing things out. Well, yeah, but who's won how many games over the last 7 years in football? It wouldn't be so bad, Vanderbilt struggling like this, except knowing that Tennessee, number one team in the country, a 19-game winning streak. We were talking about this yesterday. I just think it amplifies the lack of success for Vanderbilt on the court this year.
It does, and it is highly unusual for it to be this way. Vanderbilt riding a three-game win streak on the gridiron and struggling so mightily on the basketball side. But I think it's a big part of it is just that the SEC is so much better this year than it has been in the past. And also Vanderbilt's schedule this time around, you got road games at Missouri and Texas A&M and Georgia and these places where you got a chance to win games. You know, Vanderbilt plays Georgia at home. I would expect them to win that game. Same with Missouri and A&M. But those games happen to be on the road this year. And the rest of the teams in the SEC are so difficult to beat. Wins are so tough to come by in the league that people are focused on these games, like the games against these four teams at the bottom of the SEC standing. You're not going to sneak up on anybody this year.
Having a chance once again to talk a little college hoops with Barry Booker. Let's start with over in Knoxville and looking at the job that Rick Barnes is doing. And you know, we keep talking about these early tests. I go back to early part of January and, you know, getting tested early on the road against Missouri, for example, I think in the second game of the conference portion of their schedule. But it's a team that anticipates getting somebody's best early on. And just like even last night, South Carolina with the early three-point lead. And then all of a sudden, Tennessee flexes their muscles, takes control of the game before halftime, and then cruises to the wind.
Yeah, the balls are just so solid. They don't make a lot of mistakes, handle the basketball well. They have good defense around the basket with Alexander in there blocking shots. And then the excellent scores with Williams and Schofield. Just an extremely complete team that is not going to beat itself, well-schooled by Rick Barnes. And you know, they're going to be a very tough out, but some real tough games coming up, going to Lexington and another game against the Cats coming up later on this season, as well as trips to LSU and to Auburn. Those are going to be some really tough tests here against the best that the SEC has to offer.
Yeah, you know, one of the things, by the way, you hit the nail on the head when you talk about going on the road. You know, every team in the conference are at 500 or better at home this year, you know, as far as overall. A&M, with their victory earlier this week against Georgia at home, improved their record to 7-7. They're the only one at 500, playing 500 ball at home. Everybody else is above 500, actually even including Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt this year at home, 8-7 on the season.
Well, but when you look at conference games only, it's real interesting that early on the road teams were winning more frequently than the home teams. And now it's, I was looking last night going into the game last night, it was 54% win percentage for the home teams. And usually that's in the high 60s or even into the 70s as far as win percentage for the home teams in SEC games. So it has been really interesting just how this season has gone. We've seen some odd looking things as far as the numbers go.
At least last night, Vanderbilt did one thing that they have not been doing well since they've entered conference play, and that's make their free throws. Because almost on any given night since they began conference play at home against Ole Miss back in January, three things that I look for: turnovers. You can count on Vanderbilt committing more turnovers than having assists, and you could also count on Vanderbilt shooting 62% or less from the free throw line, with a, you know, except for maybe two or three exceptions. Well, last night, that was an exception. They shot 76% from the free throw line. Unfortunately, they had twice as many, in fact, one more than twice as many turnovers than they did assists. 19 turnovers with only 9 assists. And you, in fact, the worst part of that, they had more turnovers than baskets made. You're not going to win conference games, and you're certainly not going to win them on the road if you're committing that many turnovers.
Well, and it seems to always be something with this Vanderbilt team that, you know, if it's not turnovers, it's missed foul shots. If it's not that, they're having a hard time rebounding. And if everything goes well, even if it's a game that looks like they should pull off and be able to win, something happens right at the end of the game that they aren't able to close it out. So, you know, it's just a really difficult year, but there is talent with this team. And if they can get everybody to come back next season with the recruiting that Bryce Drew is doing, this team can take a big step forward next year and get to be a 500 type team in the SEC, which the way the league is right now, that's going to put you in the conversation for the NCAA tournament. So, you know, the record is terrible, obviously, but I don't think this Vanderbilt team is that far away from being really competitive and having the kind of success that Vanderbilt fans are used to and expect.
You know, unlike when you played, you know, we have the internet now, we have social media, and so if you're saying anything, if you're a coach, whether it's football, basketball, whatever sport it is, if it's being thrown out there, then everybody hears it, including the players. One of my big things that I've been talking about since Vanderbilt has started this stretch of losing since they entered conference play is the fact I don't think Bryce, in fact, in so many ways, you're handicapping the team if you're already setting up excuses before a game is played. And what I'm talking about is if you keep talking about how young they are. Well, last time I checked, Kentucky, Duke, pretty young as well. And look what they're doing. So, but my point is this. If you keep setting the team up with already built-in excuses, then they're not going to find a way to win these games. Because you look at how many games they've been in with 4 minutes to go, 3 minutes to go, and they can't find ways to win. Well, one of the big ways to do it is keep reminding them of the situation and what they need to do in these situations when you have the opportunity, like during timeouts. It's great that you're encouraging that we can win this thing. We can win this game. We can win this. But it's another thing to keep reminding, especially a younger team, reminding them constantly about the game situation, especially in the stretch.
Well, as far as the repetition of hearing about how young a team is, you hear that all the time from Coach Calipari with his Kentucky team. This LSU team is really young. And, you know, it's not that unusual that coaches will talk about that and talk about the challenges that go along with that. But still, you got to have that expectation that, you know, not only can we win this game, but we're going to win this game. We're going to make those plays. Here's what we need to do. This is how we're going to attack this situation, and we're going to close this game out tonight. You know, you got to go at it with that, not with we can do it, but we're going to do it kind of approach to things. And that seems to be what's missing with Vanderbilt. And when you're not doing it, when you're, you know, you can talk about it all you want, but when experience says we're not going to close this out, we're going to, you know, find a way to botch this thing up at the end of the game, you know, that really gets in a team's head, and it's hard to maintain that confidence when you're not experiencing that success.
You know, as we get down the nitty-gritty, the stretch run as far as heading into the SEC tournament, you know, right now, based on what you've seen so far throughout the regular season, you know, how many teams legitimately have the opportunity to be Sweet 16 teams from the conference? Because certainly Tennessee, Kentucky, we start there, and LSU can show that they can beat anybody anywhere as well. Is that how far we go down that list, or can you add more teams to that list?
I think final four teams, I think Tennessee and Kentucky are definitely contenders to be in the final four. LSU also really close to being in that conversation. Certainly can be thinking about an Elite Eight run, if not a final four appearance. I think those are kind of the big three. You wouldn't be surprised if Kermit Davis has a team in the Sweet 16 with Ole Miss, with the talent that they have and how hard they play. Would not be surprised at all to see them get to that level. I would have said Auburn in the Sweet 16 until last night. They just really played so poorly last night, seeing them in person. You know, hard to see them getting back to that level where they're that type of team, that kind of contender. But Mississippi State has the talent to get to the Sweet 16 as well. And I think other teams can hope to win a game, win that first round game in the NCAA tournament. But it would be a big surprise to see an Alabama, a Florida, any of these other teams that make the tournament get to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, it's interesting, Barry, you bring up Auburn because last night they played like they have been playing away from home because, you know, going into the contest last night, they were 12-1 at home and they lose by 5-2. I mean, look, Ole Miss has certainly shown us since they've entered conference play that they're a tough out, and I get that. But you would expect Bruce Pearls' bunch to be able to take care of business at home. And that'd be the only issue I would have with Auburn. If they're not playing at home, then how consistently productive can they be once we get into postseason? Because they'll have no games at home, obviously.
Yeah, of course, yeah. And they are an experienced group as well. And Jared Harper, you got the real experienced point guard. I have never seen him play the way he did last night. Two assists and six turnovers. So that was hard to deal with. And then Bryce Brown had a really poor game as well. I think he, one of those guys had 10 points, most of them from the foul line. The other was in single digits. So, you know, when their backcourt performs that poorly, I think Ole Miss gave sort of the formula for handling Auburn, you know, run them off that three-point line, especially the guys who are quality shooters, allow those some of the other players who aren't such good shooters to go ahead and launch shots and really attack them at the three-point line, make them score around the basket.
Barry Booker joining us again. One more question before we let you go. We always talk about mid-majors this time of year, especially getting ready to get to the big dance. And, boy, we have some solid programs within an hour's drive of here, a couple hours if you want to include Murray State as well, but with Belmont, with the job that Casey Alexander is doing with Lipscomb, although they had a disappointing loss last night, but they've been playing outstanding basketball. Austin Peay. Everybody talks about, you know, Murray State and Belmont in the OVC, and here's Austin Peay in that equation. A huge game for Austin Peay tonight as they take on Murray State. But your thoughts, especially about the mid-majors right here in our area and here in Nashville, Middle Tennessee.
Murray State Austin Peay game up in Clarksville is going to be a lot of fun tonight. And I was talking to Kermit Davis yesterday about that situation, and he was just so relaxed and smiling and feeling good and talking about how it's so nice to have some margin for error, you know, to go through the season and you don't have to win your conference tournament to make the NCAA tournament. The SEC looking at 7 or 8 teams getting into the NCAAs, it's at least half the league going to make the NCAA tournament. And, he was just saying that he's talking to his friends who are coaching at that level at the, Sunbelt Conference and OVC type level, and just how the cards are kind of stacked against those teams making the tournament. Obviously, once they get in, they can have success, they can make a run, but as far as getting in the tournament, things really are tilted toward the power conference teams. And, you know, Kermit Davis is enjoying that situation at this point. Not so much fun when you're, in this situation with, really good teams, Murray State and Austin Peay and the four teams that are battling to win that league, and probably only one of them are going to make the big tourney.